We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Make me a bicycle clown.
Hey, welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until DePaul basketball tonight. Blue Demon is taking on Creighton in what I consider to be a must-win. We'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. Here with me, Herb Lawrence, Mike Chen. So just so you know, so I can give you some full disclosure about this, we are putting in a new operating system here at The Score. So like the places where we play music bumps and drops and all sorts of stuff, that is changing over. So it could be a little bumpy in and out of commercial breaks and stuff like that. So when you hear it, don't think that Mike did anything wrong. Mike does plenty of things wrong, but the stuff that happens on tonight's show are not going to be his fault. Okay. I just wanted to put that out there, let you know we got a new touchscreen thing that's coming in, which I think is really good. Guys are going to be able to color coordinate their own stuff. It'll be outstanding. But there could be a little bit of little clumsy that goes on while we're on the air. So we appreciate you sticking with us. As you've probably noted throughout the day, there have been like a couple things here and there. You're like, wait, that doesn't sound quite right. Well, that's just because we're moving everything over. Hey, I am not supposed to be here today, but reached out to the White Sox kind of Hail Mary style to see if I would be able to get Rick Hahn to be on the show. I didn't think that it was going to happen, but then the White Sox were like, can you put Rick on the show? And I said, yes. So here I am doing the show, and I wanted to share that with you. I wanted you to hear Rick Hahn because obviously this is a big piece of news. The White Sox not signing Manny Machado. So I feel it's important to give people the opportunity to hear what they have to say. And that's what we are going to do right now. Glad that you're here tonight. I wanted to come in to make sure that we had an opportunity to talk about the White Sox. Obviously, the big news being Manny Machado signing with the Padres. So I reached out to the White Sox and said, can I talk with Rick about what happened? And they were nice enough to oblige. So the senior vice president and general manager of the White Sox, Rick Hahn, joins me now here on The Score. Rick, thanks so much for picking up the phone. I do appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Lawrence.
Okay, so there's a couple of things that I want to clear up, and it'll kind of lead into the rest of my questioning. So I want to deal with fact instead of rumor. First thing. The reports were that your offer to Manny Machado was an 8-year deal worth $250 million with options that pushed it to roughly $320 million. Is that close to being accurate?
Candidly, I don't want to go too far down the path talking about specifics within the negotiation. That said, enough of that's been out there. So much of this stuff has leaked out publicly that I think I am comfortable telling you that, yes, generally that is accurate.
Okay. The other thing actually came from our own Bruce Levine. And he tweeted out last night that the organization doesn't believe in out clauses. So I wanted to ask you, one, is that true? And two, if it is true, what's the philosophy behind it?
Yeah, you know, that's not true. And I actually texted Bruce late in the evening last night when it came to my attention that that was out there, because unfortunately, yesterday was a tough day, and the baseball gods had a little added twist in store for me, in that it happened to be the day that all GMs have mandatory media availability late in the afternoon. So I got to stand up there and talk through our disappointment twice due to the timing of it. And in that afternoon media availability, I was actually asked point blank by one of our our beat guys, whether there was an organizational philosophy on opt-outs. And I said, absolutely not. There's not an organizational philosophy. You make the assessment based upon the individual give and take within the negotiation. Now, a couple of things along those lines. First, this organization in the Albert Bell deal was actually the first one to ever do an opt-out clause, which obviously was many moons ago, but does show at least the historical precedent. In time, you've seen in the last few ones of these, I haven't seen the one in the Ultimate Machado deal, but you've seen some of these that have sort of shifted the burden a little bit off of the team, in that previously those player options slash opt-out clauses have been extremely player beneficial. If the guy gets hurt, he's going to stick around, or if he underperforms, he's going to stick around, and if he happens to be worth more than what's left on the contract, he's going to opt out and go somewhere else, or at least get a raise. In recent years, they've become a little more balanced, and in that there's sort of a mutual option structure in a lot of these deals where the guy may opt out, but you have the ability to keep him at perhaps a higher rate that's already set. Those are certainly preferential to any team, and we're no exception to that. But at the end, in terms of the simple answer, is there an organizational philosophy against all opt-outs whatsoever in any form? Absolutely not.
I would love to know about the process of how Machado ends up signing with San Diego from the perspective of the White Sox. How much did you know about what San Diego's offer was?
We had a meeting with the agent on Monday afternoon, and then Jerry was there personally, Kenny was there, as was I, and we had a very candid conversation back and forth with his representatives about what the market generally looked like. Now, obviously, they're not going to say San Diego's offered me X and this other team's offered me Y, and we didn't get into the specifics, really, of the identity of the other suitors. Obviously, a lot of this has been out there. Seems like more than in any previous offseason, the media has had access to supposed offers and supposed interests and supposed meetings. So we did have a general sense of who the other players were, and we also got a pretty direct sense from his agent about what he felt the ultimate market was going to look like. And part of those conversations, though, is not just I got this guaranteed amount of dollars and this guaranteed amount of years, particularly on a deal that, you know, extends for the bulk, if not all, of a decade. There's a lot of triggers involved. There's a lot of pressure points, ranging certainly length and guarantee, but also upside, the opt-out that we talked about, no trade, the flexibility, how the payment streams are. I mean, they're obviously complicated triggers, and we talked about a lot of the things that were important to Manny and his wife and trying to make them most comfortable to deal. And we talked about what was important to us. And ultimately, in crafting the final proposal that we made Monday evening, we felt that we had presented something that protected everyone in terms of upside flexibility and as well as floor.
Okay. That I was just trying to figure out, like, if there was an opportunity, if Dan Lozano says, okay, this is, and clearly what you're saying is that was not the case. If he goes, well, this is what we've got, can you guys match it? I was just trying to figure out, did the White Sox have an opportunity to match what Machado eventually signed for?
I mean, I don't think it would be fair to them to say, hey, you've got X, give us the opportunity to go to X plus one. But we did have a sense, and we had very candid conversations about where he thought it was going and how we would go about trying to make him a White Sox. This was the ultimate contract offer was based on those conversations about what the priorities were. At the end of the day, and a thing that is easy to lose sight of when you get sort of caught in the weeds of these things or the emotion of these things, is that this is free agency. These guys worked extremely hard to get to the point where they can make a decision based upon whatever they want. It can be guaranteed dollars. It can be upside. It can be my wife has a cousin there who she's very close with, and we want to be there. So there's a lot of moving pieces. pieces that ultimately lead to these decisions. I don't think there was any specific thing that we necessarily refused to do that therefore, you know, torpedoed the whole situation.
Spending a few minutes with White Sox Senior Vice President and General Manager Rick Hahn. Well, let's talk about emotion. I'm sure that you've probably seen it from White Sox fans. I know that I've seen it via Twitter and talking to people. This is a fan base that's been pretty supportive of the rebuild. And you and I have actually marveled at some of that support that White Sox fans have given the White Sox over the last couple of years being a part of this rebuild. So when it comes to them kind of feeling upset about Machado not being put into this mix, how do you want to try and soothe them as a fan base, mm-hmm. being that they have been supportive of the way this has gone?
I absolutely get it. I 100% get it. I get the frustration and disappointment and feel it myself. I mean, we've talked about it. I talked about it yesterday. You and I have talked about it before. You know, fundamentally, everyone who works for the club is a fan. There's that part of you that has that live and die emotion, not just because it's your career, but because there's that fan part of you, some of which at times can be a little irrational or a little emotional and can get pissed off. And I was feeling that yesterday and was feeling it probably a little bit still today when I woke up. And it's tough. And look, the fan support has been outstanding throughout the first 2+ years of this rebuild, which we all very much appreciate. But we also recognize that part of the reason for that is that we've lived up to what we said we were going to do, starting with, you know, and broke down these myths about the White Sox over the last several years. The White Sox would never rebuild. Well, obviously, we proved that wrong. The White Sox would never incur a penalty to sign a big high price tag international player or amateur player, which we then did with Luis Robert. The White Sox would never make a trade that would help the Cubs, even if it was in the best interest of the organization. Obviously, we did that with the Eloy and Cease deal. But one of those sort of last narratives or things that the White Sox supposedly would never do was land a top of market, top dollar free agent. And this would have been an opportunity to prove that wrong. Now, obviously, as the reports are out there, offering a guy in the vicinity of $250 million is a pretty aggressive move, one that I think a lot of people previously would have thought this organization would never have done. I don't take a great deal of solace in trying hard when you come up short. We work in pro sports. It's pretty binary. It's win-lose. You either get it done or you don't. We didn't get it done. So I understand the frustration. But we have a track record of proving those narratives false. And we know that's sort of like the one last narrative that's out there. We tried to prove it false over the last few months leading up to the other night. And even though we're disappointed by the failure, this isn't the last time we're going to try to do it. That money's going to get spent. When it gets spent, I'm not sure. How it gets spent, I'm not yet sure, other than knowing that it's going to be spent similar to the fashion we tried to spend it earlier in the week, and that is to put us in the best position for the long term to win multiple championships. That's Rick, been the message from the start.
I'm not trying to take away your leverage, but mm-hmm. I was thinking about, considering where the Sox have been as an organization over the last few years, that the idea that you might have to overspend for a free agent is out there. How fair is that?
I don't think that's entirely fair. Like, I really don't. I until we convert on one of these guys, there will be theories and thoughts like that. Oh, they must be an unattractive destination, so they have to overpay. But in talking to players, talking to agents, being in the room when these conversations are happening and hearing from, you know, teammates and how we're viewed in the player community, it's very, very positive. People see where this is going. Again, people have different priorities when they make their choices in free agency. But at no point do I think the thought was, well, I need to get 110% of my value or something like that in order to become a White Sox. We've had players, not in this instance, but we've had players take less to come here and be part of this historically. And I think that's going to be the case going forward. In that, we're going to be a desirable destination, and it's only going to get more so as this group matures together and people see at the big league level, proof at the big league level, of what we're capable of doing.
You and Kenny both applauded Jerry for giving you some financial flexibility to perhaps push the rebuild along a little bit faster. Was $300 million guaranteed a financial Rubicon that you couldn't cross, or was that player specific?
There is no magic limit on where we would go. You got to make the evaluation based on every individual player. They're obviously all different. They have different risks. They've got different upside, different benefits, and how it fits to the club. And at no point did we sit in a room and say, I don't care who it is, we're never going to pay above X. That just isn't the case. And in this deal, at the end of the day, we weren't comfortable, as Kenny alluded to, we weren't going to get to that level, but we obviously tried to address some other concerns that the player had in order to make the offer appealing. But again, there is no limit. It's about making an assessment about the value of the individual player, the risk that that player brings, and what potential alternatives exist in the future for that money.
How would you describe the White Sox interactions with Scott Boras and Bryce Harper?
I don't want to go too far down this path because we're really not supposed to talk about free agents. I will say that there is an open line of communication. I feel Scott and I have very direct and candid dialogue whenever we speak, and we're always available to each other. But in terms of getting into any specific, like, give and take in any conversations or where things sit or don't sit, like, first of all, I'm supposed to avoid that under rule, and second of all, I think it doesn't serve anybody interest to you know, air negotiations publicly.
Fair enough. I just know that is something that White Sox fans are looking at and saying, well, there's another 26-year-old who's pretty great that still hasn't signed with a team, and if you have money available, it would be great that if that became the focus. But I understand that you don't want to necessarily negotiate through my show, and that's fine. So let me ask you this. Considering that you didn't get Machado, that Harper and a bunch of other free agents are out there, and how late free agency has gone this year, how do the Sox go about spending the money that hasn't been spent, and does it affect the 2019 White Sox as far as you're concerned?
I think there's two ways of looking at that. First, again, we're going to spend the money at some point, and it's going to be spent in terms of the big dollars, and it's going to be spent to enhance our position for the long term. Can't tell you if that's going to happen this offseason, but it's going to happen at some point. In terms of how that affects the 2019 White Sox, obviously if we wind up spending it this offseason, it improves the product immediately. From my perspective, assuming we do nothing else for the next several weeks before opening day, the arrow continues to point up for this organization. We're going to be better on opening day than we were at the end of last season. And I think we're going to be better at the end of next season than we're going to be at opening day of 2019. And then as we, a year from right now when we're talking, and we're starting to enter that year four of the rebuild, when you've seen organizations really take that step forward when things have gone well, I think there's going to be a whole different level of excitement at that point. But again, Ricky put it the other day, something to the effect, some of the flowers are starting to bloom. And I think that's accurate. I think there's going to be some progress, not only from the guys who have been at the big league level in 2018, but there's going to be, additional guys like Eloy, and at some point probably Dylan Cease and perhaps some others that are going to continue to show this process moving forward over the course of the 2019 season. But I suspect when you and I talk a year from now, the tone of the conversation is going to be a lot more optimistic and a lot more exciting given what we're on the doorstep of being able to accomplish.
Okay, so how would you feel? Do you feel that White Sox fans should still be bullish on what you're doing as far as rebuilding this thing from the ground up?
I am the last thing I'm going to do, because again, I growing up in this town and getting mad at just about every franchise as a kid and as a teenager and as a fan at some point for something they did or didn't do, I'm the last guy to tell a fan, you know, how they should digest our actions or view our performance. That's part of the right of being a fan. I will say around here, around the league, people are very positive and very optimistic about where this thing is going. And as you look at the total framework of what we've accomplished in the last, you know, little over 2 years since we started this rebuild in earnest, there's a lot of good things going on. There's a lot of positive improvements as an organization, and a lot of the depth, a lot of the upside, and a very fine, young, championship-caliber core coming together. It's absolutely that disappointment and not being able to add to it in the last couple of days, but we're not going to stop continuing to try to add to it, and it's going to happen at some point here in the hopefully not too distant future that people are going to start seeing what people around the league are talking about in terms of what we're capable of doing.
Rick, one more thing on the Machado issue. I just was wondering, how do you guys kind of unpack and dissect your approach in free agency, and then do you use that to try and affect what you may do going forward?
Oh, absolutely. Not going to lie to you, it's not going to be today. But at some point here, once we get the fog of war, so to speak, fades and we get a little more objective, we'll sit down and go through what worked and what didn't work in terms of any recruitment. Obviously, you've heard me talk about we're not looking for a participation trophy or the fact that we tried hard or all that. That said, there are a lot of people in this organization who worked extremely hard, cross departments from, you know, marketing and finance to community relations, PR, outside of the baseball department, who played a really impressive role in putting us on the doorstep of getting this thing done. It didn't get done in the end, and that's on me, but the organization as a whole should be proud about the effort they made, and I think that effort and this experience is going to serve us very well the next time we're in this situation.
Rick, I appreciate your time. I know that it's limited. I appreciate you jumping on the score and being on my show and letting White Sox fans hear from you. I'm looking forward to having a further conversation on this and a lot of things when I get myself out to Arizona. But thank you very much for joining me and giving White Sox fans a glimpse into what the organization is thinking.
You bet. I appreciate you having me, Lawrence.
That is White Sox Senior Vice President and General Manager Rick Hahn. We look forward to your reactions. 312-644-6767 is the number. Back after this on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Radio.com Sports. The best experts in sports. Podcasts and more from The Score and all your favorite sports stations.
Radio.com Sports. It's where you get incredible, original sports content anywhere, anytime.
Download the Radio.com Sports app today.
This is Brandon Tierney with a CBS Sports Minute sponsored by Glassdoor. Find the right fit for your business at glassdoor.com/hire. Probably didn't think the Padres were going to cough up $300 million for Manny Machado, did you? You know who wanted Machado? The White Sox wanted him. They reportedly offered in the neighborhood of $300 million as well, but he spurned that offer to go to San Diego. So they still have money to spend. Here's how they should spend it. Take the $300 million and disperse it in a bunch of different spots. Dallas Keuchel, we'll give you 3 years plus an option. Craig Kimbrell, here's 2 years for $20 million a pop. Marwin Gonzalez will give you 4 years, $65 million. Adam Jones will give you Andrew McCutchen money, 3 years, $50 million. And we already have Jose Abreu as the mainstay DH. And you look at the division if this ever happened. The Tigers stink, the Royals stink, the Twins stink. Your only competition is the Indians. White Sox, join the party. Mix it up. Make it really interesting. I'm BT.
Some job recruitment sites overload your inbox with resumes. Glassdoor knows not just any will do. From 62 million job seekers, Glassdoor only matches you with qualified candidates who have the skills and experience your small business needs to grow. In fact, Glassdoor hires are 30% more likely to stay with your company longer. And Glassdoor can help you find that perfect candidate in half the resumes. Go to glassdoor.com/hire. Glassdoor. Find the right fit for your business.
Springtime is almost here. And it's the perfect time to get more at AutoZone. And getting more out of your car battery starts with Duralast. Duralast batteries are proven tough, so you can always count on a smooth startup. Give yourself peace of mind with Duralast. Proven tough and available only at AutoZone. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
So you're selling your home. Don't you want the highest offer for the sale of your home? I mean, you don't want to leave any money on the table. Time for you to meet my friend Amy Kite of Keller Williams Realty Infinity.
Look, Lisa, the best things in...
No, Lisa! Amy! I told you there'd be snafus tonight. It's Mike, it's totally okay. You know why? Because we're still going to tell people about Amy Kite.
If...
Oh, God. Okay. All right. So for those of you who are just joining us, we are putting in a new operating system here at the Score. So there could be a little bit of a bumpy ride. But let me tell you about Amy Kite of Keller Williams Realty Infinity. Working with Amy is not bumpy at all. Working with Amy is great. If you need someone to sell your house, this is the person that you should go with. Because she's got the experience, she understands the market, she understands how to break it down, she understands how to stage your house in the way that you would like it staged, so you're going to get top dollar on your home. Here's a story. Kathy and Kurt were going through a very stressful divorce. They called Amy Kite and her team to sell their home because they had heard about them on the radio. Yay! Amy's team is specifically trained been trained on dealing with divorcing couples. They seamlessly worked with both parties, engaged their powerful marketing, and got the sale completed without having to take it back to court. With Amy, you sit down, you set a price and a deadline, and if your home isn't sold by that deadline, Amy can buy your home, or if you would prefer, rent your home out. Amy has a property management company that can help. So, working with Amy doesn't obligate you to anything. Look, if she's not doing what she promised that she's going to do, they're going to let you out of the contract free and clear. Okay. This is the person that I would have selling my home if I was in the market to sell. I kind of like my little house, but you never know. She works in 8 different counties. She averages selling a house every 18 hours. So call her. Amy Kite of Keller Williams Infinity, 847-877-9881, or online at amywillsellyourhome.com. That's amywillsellyourhome.com.
A lot of fellas been asking me how they can be as smooth as JB. I say, well, you can start by shaving with a Big Flex 5 razor. But then, like a great sculptor, you must chip away everything unsmooth from your life. Like spending a fortune on some overpriced, overhyped razor where you can get a smooth shave from a Big Flex 5. I mean, if you can't tell the difference, why pay the difference? If you don't agree, I will come to your house and shave you myself. Smooth shave, smooth price. Big Flex.
Lisa, the best things in life are simple. True love, kittens, the perfect pizza.
Complexity is the bane of modern existence.
Give me simplicity or give me death.
Yeah, I don't think that's how that goes.
Why should banking be so complicated?
How do we go from kittens to banking?
At my bank, everything is complicated.
Oh, you need that kitten. Or Lakeside Bank, they make everything easy.
Perfect. Just like that pizza.
Lakeside Bank makes banking simple. Lakeside Bank, it's about time. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
If you ever...
See? Stuff will just go out now, then come back in. Mike's not even touching buttons. Mike, it's okay. All right? The people will stay with us because they love us? This hour, by the way, is being brought to you by Menards. Save big money. Caroline! I was actually listening to that the other day. Save big money at Menards. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until DePaul basketball. DePaul's taking on Creighton at 7:45. We've got the game. I've been seeing and replying to a lot of your text messages. You can text the show. That still works. 670-11. You can actually still call the show too. 312-644-6767. So, I'll just give you my philosophy on doing interviews like that. My philosophy is that I'm going to ask the question, and if my subject of the interview wants to be evasive, they're going to be evasive. And then you, as the consumer of the interview, go, huh, so-and-so was evasive in that interview. I don't think that somebody's like, well, you need to go harder. Maybe. I mean, I'm always down for a little bit of fair criticism on something like that. I just don't think that you can necessarily badger answers out of someone who doesn't want to give you answers. But, and I'll tell you this much. At the beginning of the interview, I feel bad because I unintentionally threw Bruce under the bus. I feel awful about that. But I'm glad that Rick said that they don't have an organizational philosophy against opt-outs. And I'm glad that he explained how this thing worked and that they might not have, one, they either didn't have the final contract that Machado was going to sign with the Padres, or they didn't believe that Lozano had gotten that contract from the Padres. And that's why I asked the question about overpaying. I think that the White Sox are an organization that for right now is going to have to overpay. They're going to have to. If we're talking about getting free agents in-house. And I felt that it would have been worth it. Like if your baseball people had told you that this was the guy, that you were making a really big attempt to grab someone that was going to help offensively with the rest of the young guys that are coming along, if you felt he was the guy, then do it. Then overpay. And then some of those criticisms of you as an organization do go away. And you heard Rick talking about it. You heard Rick talking about that. But they go away if you overpay on it. I hate to sound like Jackie Chiles, but it's the truth. The other part of it is, with the opt-outs, with the triggers that the White Sox allegedly had in their deal, any agent worth their salt is going to look at precedent. And the precedent is that no player really at Machado's then age would end up getting that many at-bats. Therefore, the contract doesn't look like it's more than what he got at San Diego. I mean, the White Sox can say, well, we were going to offer him $325 million. But if they know that that's not what's going to end up happening, that you're not going to get that money, then they have to look at it as here's $250 million guaranteed versus $300 million guaranteed. Oh, and I have an opt-out after five, where in the other deal, I don't have that. I can tell you from listening to Rick, it doesn't sound to me like the White Sox are in on Harper. And my whole thing is, if you do have that big pile of money, if Kenny and Rick were able to get Jerry to sign off on a big expenditure, and I've said this all along, to me, Harper makes more sense than Machado because of what it brings to your organization from an electricity standpoint. Both these players are good players. You would want either one of those guys on your team for a really long time. I think you'd rather have Harper because you get the sizzle and the steak and not just the steak. I also think Harper plays a little harder than Manny Machado. But I think as soon as you sign Bryce Harper, your season ticket sales are going to go through the roof. Jersey sales are going to go through the roof. If what you crave is attention nationally, you're going to get that attention, I think, even more amplified than what you would get from signing Manny Machado. So, let's talk. You and I. That's why I came in to do the interview, but I could have dropped the interview in on someone else's show. But I wanted to talk with you about it because we haven't had a chance to do it. I thought about doing a special House of L podcast on the subject, but then I was like, I could just go do the radio show. So I'm doing the radio show. And we can actually interact, unlike on the podcast. 312-644-6767 is the number if you would like to jump in. Roselle and Patrick. Hey, Patrick, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, thanks for taking my call.
No problem. What's on your mind?
Well, originally I was calling in about the overreaction of fans from not signing Machado, but I do want to disagree with you on the Harper versus Machado. I do think Machado was the right one to go after. I went back and looked today. We have seven, or I shouldn't say we, the White Sox have seven, I mean, top, I wouldn't say top, but really good prospects coming up. I mean, the obvious one, Eloy, in the outfield. Rutherford, Robert, Aspi. I mean, you can just go down the list. Their outfield's overcrowded. When you look at the infield, I mean, it's pretty shallow. So I think Machado was the right one.
Yeah, but that's the beautiful thing about having an American League team. Bryce Harper can be my DH.
That's true. But I think Zach Collins is probably more of a fit for that role. I mean, Zach Collins, you know, he's going to have the big bat.
Hey, Patrick, do we know that Zach Collins is going to have a big major league bat? Because I know that Bryce Harper is an MVP.
True. But if you look at, I mean, we're all taking the words of every scout, everything Recon's given us, everything Kenny Williams given us. So we all got to take it with a grain of salt. And I completely agree with you on that. But I just think if half the prospects pan out, you got Martingale coming up, which is going to be great. That's why they're moving Mankata over to third. And then if it all pans out, if Collins comes up and hits well, you're not going to want him as a catcher because we all saw what Joe Mauer did when he came up. And by no means.
I feel like you're, Patrick, I feel you're so far down the road. Like, you're so far down the road where you're already projecting. You're not just projecting that Zach Collins is going to be a major leaguer, but you're also projecting that he's going to be a hitting star. And I actually have some stats that say that Bryce Harper is already that because he's a guy with a career on base of 390 and a career OPS of 900 and an MVP. I don't know. I feel like we kind of like got lost in the weeds on White Sox prospects. And if there's any prospects that I want to talk about, Zach is kind of lower on my list of guys. I want to talk about Eloy and Lou Bob and maybe Mike Rodolfo if he's healthy and ready to go. But I appreciate you checking in. Alex, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. Thanks for having me. I just think senior management comes off as a little tone deaf, especially after the debacle yesterday. I mean, since Rick Hahn's been GM, the team's averaged 92 losses. The payroll last year was the lowest in baseball. The biggest contract in team history was Abreu's, and he's still hanging out there waiting for an extension. Attendance was 25th on average last year out of 30. I just think that when you look at how the rebuild's gone with Giolito having a 6 ERA, walking 90 guys last year, they just need to do something to show the remaining fans the team has that they are indeed serious about signing a big-ticket player that's not Albert Bell since that was in 96. And it just seems like they're using the term rebuild. It seems kind of like a facade at this point. I mean, if it's a rebuild and the team hasn't been to the playoffs since 2008, I think they have to pay up or do something to get some excitement around this team, because if we have to wait till 2020 or 2021 to even sniff the playoffs,
You're waiting 1 year. Then you're waiting 1 year if we're talking about 2020.
Well, do you think it's a playoff team in 2020 with their current roster if everything progresses as it should? I don't.
I'm not sure. You know what's so crazy is that how this conversation can now be framed. If the White Sox had not been in this race, if they had said it in December, we like the course that we're on and we believe in the prospects that we have, I think most White Sox fans would be excited about the 2019 season as an opportunity at some point to see Eloy and to see improvement. But once they trade for Yonder Alonso, once they bring in John Jay, once they pursue Manny Machado and then fail, the rest of it doesn't look as good. It's a weird phenomenon. We'll talk more about it on the other side. 312-644-6767 is the number. White Sox don't get Machado. We had Rick Hahn on the show. You're reacting to it right now. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I just did what the president did. Isn't that what the president did, Mike? We're going to go to court. They'll take it to the Ninth Circuit. We'll get an unfair ruling. I totally just did that. Back after this on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets are now on sale at NUSports.com. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you till 7:45. And then I'm going back on vacation. Unless the White Sox sign Bryce Harper. I've been trying to think of what other things could happen that I would be like, okay, I'll go in. So here's how it works. You probably have this at your job. So you get to the end of the year, you have all these days that you have to use, and you have to use them up or you lose them. That's where I'm at. So I was using up my days because my year ends at the end of February. That's when my contract year ends, right? So now I'm sitting there at home, and I'm like, Hail Mary, let's see if we can get this thing done. And it gets done. And I'm like, oh, I got to go into work. But I'm also running out of days that I might end up losing. Shane Reardon was nice enough to smooth this over. Initially, I was going to be back to work on Monday, and now I think I'm not coming back to work till next Wednesday after tonight's show. But I was trying to think of what other things would draw me back into the studio. I'm also finding out about myself. I'm having a hard time going on vacation because I've actually been at the Score Studios the last three nights. So at some point, I should just stay my ass at home. So if Bryce Harper signs, Herbie, let's work on a list. If Bryce Harper signs with the White Sox, I'll come in.
Okay.
If Mitchell Trubisky gets hurt doing something, I'll come in. So like seriously hurt. Not like, oh, Mitchell Trubisky broke a rib. He's going to be limited when they start OTAs. What else? Can we? If the Bulls fired John Paxson.
Wow.
Right? I got to come in.
I mean, if we're just talking about imaginary things, if I win the lotto, I will not come in.
Don't you want to do the half bake though?
No, if you win it, I don't hate people like that here.
That's not true.
Not here. Here.
Oh, okay. Because I would do the half bake thing.
I gotta wait a couple months for people I hate to come here.
Bleep you, bleep you. You're cool. Bleep you and bleep you. I'm out. Can I just say that I tried to, I caught Half-Baked right at the beginning last week, and I tried to convince White Panther to watch it with me, and she was like, this isn't funny, and I immediately was like, I'm going to file for divorce. Immediately. I can't believe she didn't think Half-Baked was funny. I don't even smoke weed, and I thought Half-Baked was hilarious. And then like, you see all the people that are in it, I can't believe that she doesn't like that movie. It's very upsetting. All right. I've had enough conversation about Half-Baked for now. But are you with me? Is that grounds for divorce? 312-644-6767 is the number. Not for that. If you want to talk about the White Sox, I meant. And Rick Hahn and them not getting Manny Machado. Southside and Ryan. Hey, Ryan, you're on the Score.
Good evening, Lawrence. Thanks for having me.
What's on your mind?
So I think what I learned in my profession applies here, too. Sometimes we can get lost in the minutia of everything that's going on. At a bird's eye view here, it's almost like Rick Hahn is almost doing this job with a hand behind his back. At the end of the day, Jerry's got to sign the check. We all agree. I mean, it just seems, you know, another caller called in about Abreu and $66 million. Like, maybe $250 would have done it for A-Rod back when the Yankees and Rangers were doing it. But, you know, now it's $300, $3.25 million. What are we talking over 10 years? We're talking an extra $5 million a year. When you start winning, putting butts in seats, it pays the check. So, I mean, to have Rick come out there and, you know, we're all beating him up, we all have our opinions on Rick, at the end of the day, it starts and stops with Jerry.
Right, and that's why I wanted to find out. That was one of the questions that I asked. Is $300 million a big red line for the White Sox? Because if it is a big red line for them, then there's no reason to engage with Boris and Harper. And maybe that's what Rick was telling us. That we know we can't go 300 or above 300 without there being some stipulations to it. A texter says, I've been through two divorces. Don't joke about it. I'm sorry. 773 text says, totally grounds for divorce. One of the greatest movies ever. And that's from a white female non-weed smoker pharmacist. Wait. Can you get everyone we eat? Plus, it's got Rachel True in it. Like vintage Rachel True. Big fan. And you're right, Texter. She does sound amazing because she is amazing. She's so cute, too. It makes me laugh how cute she is. She be yelling at people. Small and feisty. Hey, Eric, you're on the score.
Hey, what's going on, Lawrence?
Nothing much. What's on your mind?
I just want to know if, in your opinion, if Kenny is like basically handcuffing them, because Rick Hahn is the one who pulled off all those trades, but and then Kenny's the first one to comment on not signing Manny.
Yeah, okay, Eric, I think that you hit on something that is really important. That has to end. Either, and look, Kenny has, what's his title is president, right? He's president of the White Sox. I get that he should be able to say what he wants. The problem is that they need to be in concert. That whatever Rick is saying, Kenny is saying, and vice versa. It can't be different stuff. Because I think that it makes the organization look like they're not on the same page with things. And I liken it to, you would never hear Jed and Theo have vastly different opinions about something that big.
And I like to say that that train is never late. Rick Hahn, great trades. Kenny messed this up.
Well.
Consistency. I love it.
Well,
thank you, Sox fans.
You know people don't like Kenny.
I don't know why we like Rick Hahn. What has he done?
I know that you have strong feelings about Rick.
I want him to do one thing that is worth the adulation that he gets from White Sox fans.
You're so mad.
I would love for him to, like, he took over in 2012. Literally, what has he done except for these trades?
Okay.
Has there been a winning season?
Well, the win, didn't they have the win? Wasn't Robbins last season or second
was,
to last season?
That was Kenny.
Oh, that's right. Really?
I believe so.
All right, let's check that. That season where they should have, where they actually had magic numbers, and then it fell apart in the last 2 weeks of September. I think the magic number got down to like 10. Texter says Kenny should drive off on his golf cart. That is the golf cart of doom. But yeah, you would want like a more united thing between the two of them. All right, let me ask you a question, and we'll talk about it in the next segment. Honestly, how did you feel about the White Sox before you even knew they were interested in Machado? I want to hear your thoughts on like the end of the season, how you were feeling about the White Sox, and how this has colored your feelings about them. 312-644-6767 is the number. My name is Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.